You're listening to Yale Radio, WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our program, we have Shamim Momin, and she will be talking to us about the art world and some of her experiences within it. She is now... Shamim, why don't I let you introduce yourself in terms of the Los Angeles Nomad Division and what you're doing now?
No problem. Well, right now I am the director and curator of an organization newly founded by myself and another colleague called the Los Angeles Nomadic Division, abbreviated to LAND, within which we intend to and have been thus far curating commission projects with contemporary artists in Los Angeles as kind of our hub, but also in other cities, and intend to continue that kind of expansive, open public art initiative, which is really its focus, to take the kind of hybrid practices and different ways in which artists are working right now and put them into the spaces where they feel most comfortable, which aren't necessarily always institutional spaces. We quite often work with institutions, and it's a very collaborative endeavor, but the idea is to particularly focus on the ways in which artists work that need other types of activity, of durational access, and also to expand our audiences and give them other ways to experience art in their sort of day-to-day existence in the same kind of challenging, provocative format that I've been doing at the Whitney for years, but again, in a more accessible way and something that actually is available to people on a day-to-day basis, whether or not they always are aware of it. So that's the sort of general gist of it. It has a relatively complicated mission statement based on my experience at the museum, at the Whitney previously, and wanting to kind of translate the things that I loved about a big institution and the idea behind institutional narrative and a larger level of visibility, amplification of what artists are doing, and so on, but marrying that in a sense to a more kind of nimble, fluid way of working that really, again, accesses the way artists are thinking and working and feeling about their practice right at that moment. So being able to adapt to that consistently throughout our endeavor is something also equivalently important to the sort of institutional quality that we're after as well. So that's the mouthful.
I'd like to talk to you more about that as well.
Sure.
Why don't we first... come back to that and talk a little bit about the beginnings in art. Can you tell me a little bit about what first got you involved in art world? We can either talk about a first experience or something that just happened after college.
Actually, it happened far before college, to be honest. And in a way, if this this conversation is to be broadcast through Yale, it makes a lot of geographic sense because it was actually in my high school, which is nearby, at Choate Rosemary Hall, where I went to school and where I took an art history course for the first time in my junior year, I believe it was, as a kind of, trying to round out the things that I was doing. I was kind of a science and math girl at the time and was intending to go in that direction with my college studies. But I took an art history course, and honestly, I mean, it sounds super cheesy, but it pretty much changed the way I wanted to direct my life, in the sense that it was the first time I'd taken a course that really addressed all of the things that I'm most interested in, the sort of breadth of humanness and the multiplicity of ideas and the way in which we work and function in the world and can touch upon everything from, science to history to metaphysics, aesthetics, to form, to spatial interests, everything you can possibly think of, to music. I mean, at this point, one of the best things about what I do is that every project comes with its own unique set of research and facts and ideas and is kind of its own refreshing set, like somebody else's mind, having access to that and whatever it is that they're interested in. So in any case, taking that art history course was the first access I had to that as an idea and what art really represented to me in studying it that way. And that kind of changed everything about what I wanted to do. And I decided to apply to colleges based on that experience to pursue art history as my degree, which I then did and went to Williams College in Massachusetts. Primarily for the strength of its art history program and its other cultural offerings. And After I came back from Paris, my junior year that I spent abroad, I started working at the museum there for the director, who at that time was Linda Shearer, who's an amazing woman who was my first mentor, really, who helped create a position for me to understand what curatorial work specifically was about, which then became my second sort of directional activity. It's something that showed me what I could do with this interest in art and why I cared about it, and being able to do something that had sort of a kind of immediacy and of communication, a way of talking to people about the things I cared most about, and putting them together in a way as a kind of conduit between the way artists were thinking and the way people were engaging with it, and hopefully creating another discourse on top of that with my own input, just fit so perfectly with my temperament and the ideas that I had about what I wanted to do, that was like sort of a second, you know, refinement of the direction in which I was going. And so it was by the time I graduated from college, I knew this is what I wanted to do. And I went went to the Whitney with that in mind, and was there in multiple capacities, but from my graduation from college up until about a year and a half ago. Well, really only about 6 months ago, if you count my adjunct status, but really about a year and a half ago when I think about leaving the actual location. So I kind of grew up with the Whitney, really, in a lot of different ways within the curatorial department, and had the opportunity. It was a really kind of amazing time where, and I worked for some extraordinary people who were really true mentors, Selma Golden, Adam Weinberg, and various others within the museum proper, who allowed me to have opportunities I never would have thought I'd have had at that age, and to run a department, our off-site contemporary commission project space on 42nd Street that I ran for about 8 years, from when I was 26 on or thereabouts, 25, I can't remember, and then also to work within the curatorial department on larger scale exhibitions uptown was pretty amazing way to get a true sort of holistic grasp on what it means to have a museum works, and also how to work with artists directly. So I had the incredible fortune to have both sides, both extremes in a way, like working directly with the artists and really involved in that as an immediate soup to nuts kind of investment on commission projects, and then also working under the larger umbrella of the institution and having the sense of institutional strategy, programmatic thinking, and that sort of larger holistic narrative that we, frankly, I feel like are responsible for and responsible to. So that in combination was a pretty amazing experience.
Was there a show that you curated at the Whitney that was standout for you, or something that was particularly memorable in your experience there that changed the way you were looking at art, or was just something you're particularly proud of?
Well, I mean, of course, the two biennials that I co-curated are the largest scale things I did, and obviously have a different sort of breadth and impact than the ongoing single artist commission projects that I did, maybe six of which I did a year at Altria. But honestly, I can't really say one is more important than the other to me, because to me it feels a bit more like how that develops your practice. And now looking back on it, I see how much that informed my choices about what it is I want to do with land and with this new endeavor, that all of it was really about how to think about this incredible privilege I had, this access to how an artist's process works, and something I think people, that we underestimate, that people really don't have a lot of access to, and they will only tend to see the sort of final product, so to speak, and that's just not really the way artists work, or the way that art is formed, neither, much less now, but never, probably, and arguably never, and that, you know, really shaped the way that I think of curatorial responsibility and the kinds of things that I'm interested in. So it's harder for me to pinpoint one particular show. I'm proud of all of them, to be honest, and feel like there are a few that I feel like we didn't achieve what we set out to do. I mean, that's not to say that each show was always the best show the artist ever did, but I do feel like that they were all steps in their process, and that I feel good about having contributed to. Honestly, sometimes I think, and again, maybe this lends itself to this interest in process, some of the most impactful moments for me were more about installation and the people and the team behind the scenes, so to speak, who made these kinds of things happen, and how many thoughtful, like, experienced folks were necessary to pull together something on the level either of a biennial or of a really challenging commission project in a semi-public space like Altria, and what how many brains you needed to get that done. And I think, again, that's also something people don't have much access to, is the sort of symbiotic sensibility of the totality of all those folks putting all their heads together for the same purpose. And that's an experience I definitely think is one that that I prize, and I think has made a lot of difference in terms of how I work.
And when you talk about process, that sounds very interesting, having access, if I'm understanding you correctly, to the artist process and how they produce things. Can you speak a little more about that and what that meant to you, or how that changed your ideas of how art is produced?
Sure. I mean, it's everything from sort of the literal idea of process, from actually having more access to understanding how things are made. That's probably the most direct translation of that notion. But in the end, what I think is most compelling to me is this idea of process as an ongoing evolution, is that when I think about, after I had done a number of these commission projects at Altria and started to think back on them and kind of analyze what that meant in terms of how I was thinking about that artist's work and also just about art in general, like really having a very direct and immediate understanding of how something goes from an idea in the studio, a sense of their work, a sort of notion of what it could be, and all of the steps along the way that then shape it into what it becomes. And then my, hopefully well-executed responsibility to help make that happen in its best possible way, and really being conscious of that in a moment-to-moment way was something that I think that, again, I try to be very transparent about, because I think most people don't have that privilege. And so, everything from, the first idea, and then it gets shaped both by your conversations conceptually and what you think works best, and influences of all of the content from the content side, but then also logistics, like space limitations, the economics of things, feasibility of how that is presented, et cetera, all of those things parlay into what it actually becomes in the end. And I think are integral parts of thinking, of artistic thinking, and not just things that you have to handle, but they actually become like part and parcel of how the idea is shaped. And quite often, in many, many instances, the limitations or the things that we came up against as obstacles ended up pushing the work in directions that made it better, because you were kind of required to figure out what your priorities were and how to edit and how to focus or redirect that strengthen the project in its best possible way. So that's in a sense what I mean about process. And I think that, again, more and more that's been a very prevalent way of working as well within contemporary artists. Practice whereby the process and the idea of this sort of system of ideas is the point more so than the actual object, although obviously that's important as well, but it's not prioritized in quite the same way that we might traditionally have understood it, even if they never meant it that way to begin with.
That's very interesting. And in terms of artists moving out into the world, or artists who are already in the world of art, working in their studio and moving through their own process, how is it that you meet artists and essentially get turned on to new ways of artists working and seeing and being?
Well, I mean, I think it shifts depending on where you are in your career or life or so on. I mean, when I first started, it was a very sort of rigorous point of like physical research, like going to as many shows as I possibly could and thereby going to studio visits based on what intrigued me about the shows I saw, and then developing a kind of community of folks and language and discourse from those visits and the people that I was particularly interested in. And, most importantly, actually kind of paying attention to what the conversation was in the studio, regardless of whether I mean, frankly, regardless of whether that artist is somebody I was going to eventually put myself behind or not, it's like the language, the conversation that artists are having with each other and about each other has always been my lead, you know, my most important lead, as it were, and how to distill what they were saying or to hear the points of connection or the moments where there was there were ideas that came up again and again and how those evolved. I mean, it's almost like, and it sounds ridiculous, but it's almost like trend spotting in a way. It's like the idea is that you are looking for and listening for a kind of critical mass of ideas, not about, that are not necessarily about originality or no one's ever thought it before, but why these set of ideas, why are they prevalent, why now, and what's interesting about that, and why does that speak to what they're doing as their individual practice, but also on a sort of larger sense to culture, you know, as a whole, and why this moment. And that's sort of the guiding factor of why, of how and why one chooses to do a show at any given moment or any given time. I mean, there's a lot of different factors as well, but that's sort of the general scope of it. So, you know, and then continuing, obviously, after, you know, I've been doing this for a fair bit of time at this point, there are lots of folks who I continue that conversation with on a regular basis, and talking to and being around artists is a critical factor in all of that for me. But then continuing the original process of going to as many shows as possible and seeing as many new people as possible is really necessary to keep that refreshed, so to speak, so that you're not, you don't get mired in a certain idea or a certain trajectory, but really try to keep testing it out against the way other people are thinking or other kinds of practices evolving and so on. So it, you know, in a way, actually just gets more and more intense over time as opposed to easier and easier, because you're then weighing against everything you know against everything you're learning, as opposed to just learning it from, you know, from the get-go as you might have done at the beginning. So it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of attention, really, in the end. It's about, you know, paying attention, making choices every day, which is the hard thing to ask of people in general, but something that I feel really strongly about, and I like that my job requires me to maintain that idea and that requisite attention to the world and to other people and the way they're thinking.
Right. That's a topic maybe we should stay with for a little bit. So, you know, because that's fascinating. That's also the context that you're seeing the work in. That's about the conversations that you're having. And to bring it to the point of when you were talking about the studio visit, where you're listening and you're discussing ideas with the artist, and just as now you discuss ideas with a group of people, is the discussion, and this is based against your whole background, if I'm paraphrasing it correctly, of understanding, of knowledge, of what's happening in the popular world right now, or has ever happened in the world historically, but in terms of the art world or social trends or everything else, how is it that the ideas that you're discussing kind of focus themselves? Is it around a particular idea, or are you just, I mean, what I'm trying to get at is the artists themselves or the people you're talking to actually discussing these ideas directly, or are you extrapolating from what they're saying and comparing it to, you know, a paradigm that you're looking at that you're matching up or not matching up? Does that make sense?
It does make sense, and I think it's a bit of both to some degree. I mean, I can't underemphasize how important it is to, in my mind, to listen to what is being said and why certain things resonate, not just in that person's conversation, but in another studio visit. You did. Again, this is why I think it's so important to do and see as much as you can, even if you don't like most of it. Because even if you don't necessarily want to get behind that artist, the conversations tend to be still resonant and important, because they'll repeat and repeat in the good way. I mean, reinforce one another in terms of what is of interest and the ideas that are coming up again and again, and being open to, you know, attending to that, whether or not even that you're interested in those ideas, but paying attention to what they might be is sort of one of our responsibilities, I think. But then the other part is that, you know, I also live in this time. You know, this is, I exist in this world, as do they, as an individual person experiencing the world. And so obviously I have my own responses and ways of thinking about things. So trying to find some balance between that kind of immediacy and recognizing my own immediate understanding of the world and the ideas that I'm having, and having some distance for analytical thinking, essentially, a way of summating things that that are important to people, but I don't necessarily have to impact with my particular preferences and so on. To think about that systematically, more as a structure, and why those things represent certain elements of culture, but then also to balance that against some kind of immediate responsiveness, because I do think your distillation, your personal passion, and all of those things that people like to attribute to instinct, which to me is just a very rapid way of parsing all the material and all the information that you have, in balancing that against a more deliberately analytical process, is what makes a really good curator, contemporary curator in particular. So to me, that's what I'm always looking to do. I'm not saying I do it right every time by any means, but that is the goal.
Sure. And let's talk a little bit about artists today. What is it that you think is most important, or, I mean, in speaking to artists as a group, contemporary artists who are looking to initially become part of a gallery or become represented, what is the landscape for artists now as you see it? Is representation very important? What is the most important aspect of their practice or trajectory in terms of engaging the art world?
Well, I mean, obviously, if you have a good dealer, if you have someone who can represent you well and in a thoughtful, long-term, strategic way, you're going to be better off, I think, as a general rule. But it doesn't mean that it's absolutely strictly necessary. You can certainly, there's certainly a lot of ways to handle it on your own. I mean, I really think that it's hard for me to speak what the landscape is right now, because one of the things that's most interesting to me about it is that I feel it to be changing pretty drastically and imminently. Like, I still feel like this last year and into this moment, despite how much people want to say how everything is, like, sort of fixed itself and it's all fine, that it's still in this kind of retrenching is not the right word, but it's sort of like stepping off for a minute and, like, taking it through, preparing, maybe preparatory, and with the notion that all of that preparation is going to come to a certain, to some kind of fruition in the upcoming, I don't know when, months, years, we'll see. But it feels very different than this sort of absolute present responsiveness that was fascinating, but and characteristic of previous years before everything kind of went nuts. But you know, and certainly it's not even so much a critique as it is just an observation of what the way the process is. So the predictability that I would have had, like, not 2 years ago in answering that question is not really present to me. And I think it's going to depend a lot on how people are able to rethink what they're doing. And that is, interestingly, based on something we were just talking about, a conversation I hear over and over again, not just from artists, or actually more importantly, not from artists, but from, like, dealers and other people involved in how things are being shaped, is that you don't, this is the moment they finally have a time, in a sense, to think about why they're doing what they're doing, if they really care about the thing that they're doing and the process by which they're doing it, and that they have, like, the forward thinkers that I've encountered, I feel like, are all saying that exactly. Like, I don't need to do this way. And I'm not in the position where it was so go, 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 here's all your opportunities, everything's there, how can I stop? You know, you don't have time to reflect in any way. And now that you do, you're sort of required, in my mind, to try to decide if that's even something you want to continue being or doing. And the folks
you mean,
who
you mean the actual art making process. Do you want to continue making art while you haven't made
it? I mean like the industry, which is, you know, I'm just focusing on the tenor of that question in terms of galleries and representation and so on, but rather how they're functioning, like what they want to do, what they're expecting of artists, and the people who are really trying to rethink what they are and how they're functioning, you know, in their various arenas, whether they're gallerists or critics or curators or museum directors or whatever it might be, are the folks who are taking advantage of what this somewhat troubling and difficult, like, last scenario has given to us, which is space and time to kind of decide. And actually that you have to, because you just don't have the resources to throw it at anything and everything you want, which was sort of the situation that I grew up in, frankly, at an institution. you know, relatively, obviously, not like a corporate environment, but still compared to most like sort of moments in the nonprofit arena. In any case, point being that they are the ones that I admire have a sort of consistent kind of language of thinking like, this is what I was doing before, but why am I doing it? Like, does this still make sense? What is it about it that I like? And why do I care about? And what can I do to make this serve what I care about most in terms of the artist or the art world best? And that's been really interesting to hear and watch. But I don't think that we've seen what exactly that amounts to quite yet. Consequently, I don't think that I can give the kind of advice, not that I ever really feel comfortable saying like I can do that anyway, but I couldn't give that kind of reflection that I would have a few years ago on something I had full grasp on. I think what's interesting about right now is that I'm not totally sure where everyone's going to go with everything, and that's what I'm most excited about, to be honest, see what's going to happen.
Right, there could be a very big shift there. I mean, that's interesting. I've heard that conversation touched on in different ways, but not quite the way you're talking about it from the industry standpoint, from dealers, critics, curators.
It's across the board, though. You know, it's like that same sensibility. Just, and it's what I meant about, like, you know, I live in the world too. Like, I'm not an artist, but I live in this world also, and I'm an individual in this world right now also. And I have to take that into account when I'm thinking about their artwork. That I'm responding to it as an individual, as well as someone who is taught to think about things slightly, you know, analytically or from a distance, and that we need to recognize that. So similarly, the same things you're going to see in the artist practice and what they're doing are going to be happening everywhere. You just have to look on the different levels of how those structural shifts are being impacted, but they tend to be the same. And that's what's interesting about art, is it's talking about stuff that everybody's doing and thinking and experiencing. They just might be looking at it like sort of aside, you know, from in an oblique way or maybe a little farther in advance than others, but or in a way that makes you recognize it in yourself or so on. But it's the point of it, why it matters, is because it's kind of about you, you know? It's like about who you are and what humanness is. Otherwise, why the fuck would we care?
Let's talk a little bit about land, and tell me what's exciting about that for you right now. It's, I mean, it looks like a very interesting project. I know recently what you've been doing there, and have been reading a lot about it, but what excites you most about what's happening with land right now?
Okay, let's see. What excites me most, I think, is that how many people seem to really understand what the goal is, and that that's always the most satisfying thing, is that, yeah, you might have to fight a little harder to have people pay attention to something that seems sort of ludicrous to do in a moment where starting a new nonprofit seems to be the thing you should absolutely not be trying for. But in so doing, having the kind of conceptual and strategic and in-kind and monetary and fundamentally sort of conceptual beliefs that we've had across the board has been the most exciting thing about it. You know, that said, it's a huge, huge, huge endeavor, struggle, for us all to make the kinds of things happen the way we want them to, on the level of quality that we're after and the point that we're trying to make, that this kind of work and this kind of activity is shouldn't be, first of all, shouldn't be made secondary to kind of the more acceptable or more accepted, I should say, ways of working within institutions and so on, but are ways to fill in the gaps in between, and that we're responsible to trying to do that, and that people really seem to feel pretty strongly about seeing that happen. And then, you know, that it takes advantage of a moment where I think people have, as I said before, a little bit more time to kind of pay attention to what they're looking for and what they want. And so that too has been encouraging. We feel pretty strongly that what we're trying to do is take all the kinds of, as I said, institutional activity that I think, you know, there's a reason that major institutions function that way and have a level of rigor and intensity and visibility and historical responsibility. And I feel, you know, that's why I want to work at an institution, and taking that, all those things I learned in that way, and trying to put them into out into the world in a way that's better for the artist and for the audience, not better, that adds to it for the audience as well as for the artist, in concert with the existing institutional activity, has been really satisfying that we've been able to achieve it on the scale that we have in such a short period of time.
Well, explain that a little more. In concert with institutional activity, meaning working with other institutions?
We do a lot of things that are collaborations with other institutions. I mean, our first four launch projects, even though we did a few sort of preview events and things like that with artists, our major launch in January with the four projects that were part of, that are part of the overall exhibition entitled VIA, which is 10 commission projects with artists from Mexico that all kind of deal with the notion of like mapping and movement and kind of transit and so on. The first four of which were our launch projects in January, as said. And like those were, two of them were with, one of them was in collaboration with MoCA, another with the Max Center here, another with the, you know, not a non-art institution, but another organization with the Pacific Design Center, which has other kinds of commitments in the visual practice. You know, and lastly, another with the City of West Hollywood and their Cultural Council on the Videotron project. So having other ways to sort of link organizational activity, and interest in visual culture and or audience activity together allows us to then function in a sort of cross-platform, you know, visibility way. Terrible phrases, but one, the idea of kind of like maximizing visibility by a kind of like web or network of communication is also really important to what we're doing. So it's not an anti-institutional gesture. It's not a like, I'm tired of the museum, I've been there forever, I want to go work out on the, like, do land art and things like that, which is not to malign the importance of that moment, but by any means, but to say that that can now exist in concert with, as a larger system of thinking about visual culture and visual activity. And so one isn't exclusive of the other, but rather, you know, collective to or contributive to.
Yeah, that sounds essential to, in many ways, some of the things you were talking about, that kind of larger collaborative effort, especially as an independent nonprofit, as a way of reaching out and supporting the community at large of other institutions as well by collaborating and exchanging ideas and understanding where everybody is positioning themselves now as well as in the past.
Exactly. And the thing is, I mean, again, as much as I don't, you know, had my druthers, I don't wish the economic scenario on anybody, least of all myself. But the one, you know, advantage of that is the necessity, whether they like it or not, for everyone to maximize the individual resources they have by combining them with other people. It's like before, it was a situation where there was a good idea, everyone could do it of their own accord individually. And it's very, you know, and it's very American to do that, like very individualistic and kind of, well, there's a good idea out there, well, the Whitney system do it the Whitney way, and the, you know, Public Art Fund is doing it the Public Art Fund way, and that's great. But, you know, in this situation right now, that's neither possible nor an intelligent way of moving forward, because basically what that means is that what you do is going to be super lame because you don't have the resources you had before, or non-existent because it can't actually be made to happen. Or you take the better route, which is look at what other people are doing, combine your forces where they align, and you know, again, it's not additive, then it becomes multiplicative. It's like basic math when it comes down to that. So, you know, that to me is like one of the things I hope to see get more take advantage of, so to speak, more access as we move forward. People really like, you know, pulling their resources together. And I don't even mean it in like, I know it sounds very like touchy-feely and like sort of 60-50, but I'm actually thinking about it very purely efficiently. It doesn't make any sense otherwise.
I mean, for people to all work so hard independently to get their own resources and their own funding.
Especially with, like, reinventing the wheel each time, you know, especially, like, in a place like L.A. where the systems aren't in place, which is one of its best advantages, is that you have the opportunity to create systems of your own, but you do have to create them, but you don't need everybody doing that simultaneously individually. Like, why not try to make the best system based on what we know together, or at least a few people together. It doesn't have to be everybody together, you know, and go from there and see which things test out well, rather than, you know, starting again from scratch each time out of some sort of prideful proprietary sensibility, which is, you know, made perfect sense before when you could get all that shit funded, but you can't anymore. And you need to, like, think about, you know, and that's, you know, that's a purely practical sense. I also think ideologically it's a better way to work, but, you know, that's a harder argument sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's certainly the case for even myself and Delia as we raise funds for different projects. Working collaboratively is what we always have the focus on with institutions as well. Shamim, this has been great talking with you. Is there anything else you'd like to say in closing about artistic practice or where things are moving? Anything you'd like to leave the listeners with?
You know, that's pretty much what I'd like everyone to really think about is, you know, the artists have always understood this, that you work together on the things you care about, not with everyone, but with the people who share your sensibilities. And the more you try to do that, the better all of your things are going to be, whether they're making art or showing it or talking about it or whatever it might be. And so I'm learning that, and I hope everybody else will be as well, and hope that we can contribute to that in the process. That's pretty much the gist of it.
Shamim, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Brainerd. I really appreciate it. Great to talk to you after all this time.
You're listening to Yale Radio, WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.